This is Janet Levine, and this is tape two of my interview with Heinrich Hostler here in Florida on April 19th, 1993. So let's continue. You said, what are you doing making so little when you
Yeah,
you
well, I made a... I figured when I read those papers over, I figured I was way underpaid for what I was doing. And my cousin used to be foreman in that place. By the way, my cousin came over in 1914. He escaped the war over there in 1914. He came over in 1914.
So he was managing...
He was my foreman when I was here. Uh-huh. He got me the job over here. And then I called my cousin about it. I says, you know, I showed him the papers. He says, well, maybe they give you more money if you, you know, ask him. And so I told him about it. Them days I was getting 57 cents an hour. That's supposed to be top when you work 56 hours a week, straight time. See? So when you work days, when the busy time, you work 7 days a week. We used to work 7 days a week. So naturally, we always like to work on that Saturday and Sunday because that was the overtime then. If you didn't work Saturday and Sundays, we didn't get no overtime. So I thought, and so my cousin says, you know, says I think I ought to. I like to really move. So I said, don't you ask him for more money? He says, well, oh, I did. So I was told as well. I'm leaving. What do you mean you're leaving? Well, I'm leaving. He says, I'm going to go somewhere else. I didn't tell him where I wanted to go. I know where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to Rochester for the simple reason because Marie moved to Rochester. Mm-hmm. And before that...
You had met Marie?
I met Marie in Utica, see? And she moved to Rochester. And all that can tell us... I used to work on an old motorcycle... And here, Uncle's garage, and put that together, and actually I saw quite a bit of her, see, at that time. Then she moved to Rochester, and her parents moved to Rochester. And so when I saw that piece in the paper about all the difference in the money, so I thought, well, I'm going to move to Rochester. So those things, we can't give you any more. Well, he says, I'm leaving. Oh, you're not going to leave, are you? I said, well, yeah, I'm leaving. So there used to be, they used to give you 5 cents an hour more. Well, I says, that's not the point. I'm not staying on account of 5 cents. So then I was going to leave 2 days from them. Then it got in between. When they told me then it was something unusual, but they would give me 15 cents an hour more. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not staying. My cousin got kind of upset about it, see? And I says, I'm not staying, not for 15 cents more. Now I says, I told my cousin then, I can get 85 cents to start. The place that I got, and I had Ritter Dental figured out, Ritter Dental in Rochester. That's where I wanted to go.
That's the name of the company?
Yeah, Ritter Dental. They make dental, like the chairs you sit in and all everything the dentist used, uh-huh. Them days.
Well, say the name of it again. Riddle?
Ritter? R-I-T-T-E-R. Ritter Dental, uh-huh. Company, uh-huh. In Rochester. And my cousin was kind of upset, but I left. And there was another fellow I was staying with. He was a carpenter, and he figured he was underpaid too, so he left too.
So you had moved out of your uncle's house.
No, I lived in I lived there and moved out of my uncle's house and moved to Rochester, see?
But you, when you were still in Utica, were you, you had moved away from your uncle's house?
Yeah, we moved away from there.
Yeah.
So see, and then I stayed in some friends with, well, I knew him pretty well. His name was Jutz. Well, anyway, I moved out there, and then I came over here to Rochester, and I put my toolbox, which was heavy, you know, you got all, and I put it in a station in Rochester, in one of those lockers. And then on Monday, I went on and inquired for the job. Went to Rent and Rental by a streetcar, see? Mm-hmm. And then I went to Rent and Rental, and then I didn't know at first. They used to hire people to an agency, see? But I went direct to the employment manager, which they usually don't do. But then I told him my story, and he was kind of interested that I just came over from Germany, and I learned my trade over there, and so he called that woman up that supports the agency, and the way it looked to me that everything's supposed to go to that agency, see? But he says, his name was McKee, so he says he hired me. When I stayed there, well, that was in 1926. Mm-hmm. And then I stayed there till about 1930. And I never was laid off in a job as long as I worked any place. When 1930, they closed the place up, Ritter Dental. I had my tools in there. They didn't. I get a day later. They were just waiting to open up the place again. See, and so my tools were there. Well, in the meantime, I built a house in Rochester before we got married. I built a house before we got married. Well, and of course I had a mortgage on the house. And then when they closed Ritter and Rental up, of course we toolmakers always they were. We stick together, you know. Two of them, a friend of mine, Jimmy Ames, and Reb, they found the Corona typewriter. They were tooling up for the new model, which year that was. It must have been in 1930. And they connected with Remington. Well, they got this place in out in the country, someplace that produce the Corona typewriter, Groton, 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 New York, and then they got the job done. Then he says, "Why don't you come on down?" He says, "Look," so I went down there and we got it. We instead of getting laid off or doing. And I went to work and got my tools, which I had an awful time getting it because the place was closed up. And I worked there, and I only had one job I was doing there. We worked 60 hours a week. When I made the thing to make the skirt around the typewriter, that was my, I made the tool to die, punch and die for that. Which was very close because if one section would get damaged, all they would have to do put another section in there, and it had to be all lined up and run. So that was my only job I had down there. But we, all summer long, we had a good job down there, the three of us. Now it shows you what a nice place that was where we worked. The mailman and the Iceman, whoever it was, they don't want you. Your neighbors felt insulted if you would lock your door. The mailman come in, he laid the mail on the table, and the milkman would put the milk in the refrigerator, and that's the way those people lived down there. It was nice, wonderful. Honestly, yeah. It was really quite an experience.
Yeah. Tell me, what made you decide to build your house, to build a house?
Well, I tell you, rent was awful high. Around 1928, 1929, I got married in 1929, and we had I bought a lot in 1928, and I was thinking about that. We looked around, well, the rent was awful high. Like, I remember something like a regular apartment, $300 a month. Them days, that was awful high. And I said, see, so my brother-in-law, he knew some builder that was building houses, Lee Flans. In fact, he's a millionaire today, and we still get together every time we ever come up there. He built my house way back, and he built it himself. He was working on it, yeah. And so when I got all through, the banks wouldn't give me any mortgage. They wouldn't give any mortgage out anymore. So I had to get a regular mortgage, and the bank was 4.5%. So I had to get a private mortgage from a doctor for 6%. So that cost me $90 every $3,000 mortgage, $90 every 6 months. I had to have $90, see? So when I all of a sudden, when this happened there Riddle Dental there, you know, then what am I going to do? But then I got a job in Garten. When we closed our place up, we stayed down there. Uh-huh. For
did you look up your wife as soon as you got?
Oh, sure, yeah. She moved down with us.
Well, I mean, when you moved from Utica.
Yeah. This is the first stop I made. I stayed with her parents overnight till I found the place. Well, I stayed there quite a while anyway. We had, there was a few things to fix around there, so I'm handy in fixing things, so.
Do you remember what it was about your wife that you liked so much?
Well, she was awful cute, but she was a good dancer, and I never forget that before we got married, when she had long hair, way down, and she used to roll it up. When I got that, I bought a car, and I always says, I won't buy an automobile till I got twice as money in the bank as the car would cost. So the car cost $630, and I had $1,300 in the bank, and I got that 1929 Sport Coupe with the rumble seat. See? And that was a big deal. One time I went to Utica to see my aunt, and we went over railroad station, and she had her hair rolled up. When I had to start, just before the railroad, the darn thing came down, and I had to start the brakes kind of quick. And her hair came all down. She had it all rolled up, you know. Well, that was a little embarrassing, but after that, she wasn't long after that she cut it. But she thought it was too much of a nuisance. And then when we got married, I had a house built, and it was in August the 9th when we got Yeah, we moved in 1929, August the 9th, we moved in the house. And she says, the Leaflands and my brother-in-law and his sister, she lives in Cleveland now, we went out together for a little dinner, you know. Then there's been belief in big weddings, you know, that big thing. So anyway, in our honeymoon, we went down to Jüterbog. And I didn't tell my aunt nothing before that I was going to get married. So we came down to Jüterbog and says, well, it says, you can live up and you can go up to the camp. And it says, one of them got to sleep down on the couch, the other one go out to bed. Well, it says, we only share one bedroom. He says, what? He says, you're not going to... She says, I'm married. We got married. You did not. He says, oh, yes, we got married. So she couldn't believe it, you know. I tell you, sometimes being independent is not always the best thing. Because during the Depression, my uncle came up there twice to find out and see if I'm getting along all right. He told me, look, he says, I'd rather take that mortgage. I know you're paying more now than you're supposed to take. No, I said, it's okay. Everything is all right. It was the wrong thing to do. Because my aunt, right after that, she died. And my uncle says, well, I'm going to change everything. So, after all, I was here, his wife's real nephew. Mm-hmm. See, that was he was the second husband. See, so he says, I'm going to change everything. So, you and Bill, that's the other one that used to be the foreman. They said all taken care of. But I never got. He died a week later, and he was gonna. Now, you see, it isn't that, but that's what he wanted it anyway in the first place. Mm-hmm. Now, if I would have accepted that before that, mm-hmm. but too independent, you were just, maybe, I don't know, I still think I made out all right.
Yeah. Well, do you think you keep any of the customs of Germany since you've been here in America? Are there any ways that you have that you
not
kept up that are
not not really? I don't know that except we couldn't live like some of the people do here. I mean, well, you know how they live nowadays. We just couldn't do that. Now we married 63 years. We have our ups and downs. But you start to straighten those things out. You gotta give a little, you take a little, give a little, and that's all I can tell you. But I don't know anything. I got a credit card, but I never pay one dime interest, not a dime. I keep it for convenient. Mm-hmm. So when I go out and buy something that costs maybe $100 or $200 or whatever it is, I don't have to carry that money with me and have the checkbook always with me. And then on the end of the month, you try to balance your checkbook and it never comes out right. So if you don't write that many checks, things only write one. Mm-hmm. So check maybe goes up to $800-$900, whatever it is. So we only write the one check. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I got a checking account, for smaller things, you know. But I would never believe in that borrowing money credit. Oh, that's the wrong thing to do. And that's what's wrong right at the present time. That's why we don't get the interest in our money, because the banks borrow too much money to people that don't pay back. Or me holding the bag. Mm-hmm. But they never say anything about that. That's really our main. Look at the shopping centers they built. And most of them are empty. And the people got their money stuck into it. Mm-hmm. It's the bank's fault. When I had to pay that mortgage, I had to be on time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I not just had to pay the interest. I had to pay the insurance, the fire insurance, and fire insurance and the house insurance. Mm-hmm. I had to pay all that.
Well, when you look back on your life, when you look back on the fact that you came here from Germany and started a new life here, how do you think about it? What does it mean to you?
Oh, this was the best thing that ever happened to me. Honestly, the best thing that ever happened. Because my brother, he was over there when he ended up miserable. My mother did, after I let her go. I wanted her to stay in 19... She went back in 1938.
She came over in 1937?
She was 7, and she stayed an extra few months. She came over for 6 months. She stayed a little longer. And,
I
sent for her, yeah.
And how was your father alive then?
Oh, no, he was dead. He died. And, She didn't quite, it was the language, and she thought she misses all her friends over in Germany, but she ended up terrible over there. They took the place away from the Nazis. Mm. They put it was in the Air Force, they put in her place. And she had to go in an old age home.
Why didn't your brother want to come over?
Well, he had his business. He said that he was the orchestra leader. When he wanted to leave mother alone. He didn't want to leave mother. He wanted to leave her. You know, she would have been all alone then. So he didn't want to do that. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Is there anything else? How about learning the language?
I was going to show you. We both graduated. See? We went to school.
To evening school.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it was very, very good them days. Now, I'm not kidding you. We started out, what's this? What's this? Handkerchief, right? Uh-huh. And then we used to write down whatever she says. And the schooling was excellent, I'm telling you. Was first class. It took us no time at all that we could get along.
How long did it take you to certify?
Well, it was through the window. About 5-6 months and we got the... Wonderful. Diploma, yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
And her father and mother, they went to school. My mother didn't, but her father did. And he was over 70 years old, and he graduated yet from this, because they had a way of doing it. Uh-huh. Yeah, this is
wonderful. Well, now, is there anything else? When you first came to this country, were there some things that struck you as very different about this country? Can you remember?
Well, the different things was because you had everything so plentiful. Looked like my aunt, she had this hotel, and they were, she had a dining room, held about 70 people, you could They could eat all they want in the dining room for 50 cents. And in the bar room, out in the bar room, they were serving plates for 25 cents. And that had everything in there, including pie and coffee and whatever, stew and bread and everything, 25 cents. And in the dining room, and then everything was so plentiful here that I couldn't. When I came that first morning with my cousin, he came home from college. He graduated from, he was a chemical engineer from Troy Polytechnicum down there in Troy, Nielsen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a. And he used to come, and he, when they was here, they, I couldn't understand how they can do all those things here. It was just remarkable how they could live like that. We lived, according to them, we lived very poor, but we lived clean. That's Fraser, we lived clean, but we didn't have that. My mother used to, my father, when we used to get, we had, like sometimes in the evening, we had just maybe bread and some little sausage. Well, we used to cut up the bread in all little, and then you put a little sausage on each thing. And this is the way we, so none of us would get, just have too much or not enough. Uh-huh. But that's the way they had to divide things up.
Yeah.
The milk, you had to go across the street and all that we had enough. I mean, but not during the war. They took the milk away from me when I was 10 years old, when I needed the most. I couldn't get any more milk. Uh-huh. So this is things that I was really, when I had the only thing that made me, I was disappointed, my first job I had, I learned the trade over there and things were not so good when I came over in 1923. There was Harding and was running, Harding and Coolidge was running for vice president against Wilson, I guess. And everybody was out of work. So I worked for, I finally got a job in a, oh, I worked for a florist, a good friend of my uncle. And I got $7 a week. I work every day and I got my meals there. But I had to pay $8 a week, board. So I owed my uncle, well, they run the hotel, so I owed, well, says, I'm sorry, so, well, it's okay. So when I worked there 3 weeks, and then I got a job in the cutlery, when I got $15 a week.
In the cutlery?
In the cutlery, I got $15 a week, matching, and the knives, we used to have those plates in between. I always had a grinder and, you know, match them in the. And then I give my aunt the extra $3. When I was at that time, I thought it was kind of funny, you know. I mean, that she would take, and since she told me, says, Heinrich, I just want you to tell you, give you a lesson. You don't find no money on the street in this country. You got to earn it. Now, when Christmas came along, they made 1,000 times more than what I can, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So she was teaching you the lessons. Yeah, but she was good to you.
Yeah. She was good. Uh-huh. That's Fraser. There made nothing wrong with that. And my cousin, he married a teacher. He was at a good job. When he had his first job, When he graduated, of course, you're all looking for those. But them days, you're not even, you got about 10 jobs waiting for you if you want to interview for either, when you were a chemical engineer, you know. They were really looking for those people. When he got a job in Lockport, it's near Buffalo, an asphalt plant, he had a job. Now, every time he went to Utica, he used to come to my place. When he stay, he used to leave in the evening. And then he come to my place, and he used to sleep there for 4 or 5 hours. And then he pick us up, we go down to Utica. We go together. And when we left Utica, he used to drove during the night because there wasn't that much traffic on the road. And then he stay in our place for the rest of the night, and then in the morning, he go back to. So, everything happened to the best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you like this phase of your life, this sort of old age phase?
Well, it's you gotta just make the best of it.
Some people they. I like to be independent. Like, you take this fella that was here there before. You know, they don't really, when I get washed up in the morning, and they like to help you. Well, I'm not helpless. Mm-hmm. And I'm not that, and we're not that type of people. We just don't, and they don't quite sometimes like it when we do that, but. Says, I got to put something down on my paper. Well, you can cut my nails or do something like that. I don't care what you put down.
Do you find you think about your earlier life a lot now?
You mean...
Do you remember more about your earlier life, or do you think...
Well, I tell you this. It's so full of... I could talk for hours. Yeah. I mean, again, you know, when you figure 70 years is a long, long time. And when we used to do our homework with a kerosene lamp, and that's all there was. There was nothing on top of that, when I look back now, at that time, I probably figured that's what we were learning there. I thought maybe that was unnecessary. How would I know about the South America, like Chile, or all the, how would that look? Well, we had to know that, we had to draw that, we had to draw the mountains, and we had to do, but you see how good that was for your education. Nowadays, for God's sake, they can't even read and write. This is a shame. I mean, they got to do something. It's something got to be, I don't know why they can let them get away with that.
Yeah. Well, what are you most proud of, or what are you most grateful for?
Grateful that I had guts enough to leave Germany. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you're all by yourself. You gotta, when you're 18 years old, you know, but something that helps you. Even at them days, you were kind of independent. You had to know how to help yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't depend on everybody. You couldn't. Mm-hmm. You just had to learn to do things for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that helped. A lot, mm-hmm. when we came over here. Oh, then on top of that, I was a ham actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was a, I sang in a quartet. And we used to sing, there was four of us. We used to go around in small towns around Utica for our free dinner, and then we used to sing.
And did you sing in German?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Can you remember something? Could you sing a little,
something?
A few
songs that we had, I remember. I don't know if I can sing.
Just try. Sing what you can.
Ich lag am Waldesaunen in einer schönen Sommernacht. Da, I can remember that. But this is the kind of thing we used to sing.
Uh-huh.
And the four of us. And we had a Model T Ford, see? And then on Saturdays, we belonged to the what they call singing society, see? And when we were all, them days, we were all young people, and then we created that Manicore Club. They had a complete stage, but it was all run down. The waltz scenes and the whatever they had for the rooms and thing. It was all, so we rebuilt the whole thing. And then we put on some plays, like the Prince of Heidelberg. I remember I was a doctor in Prince of Heidelberg. I always played things that like characters for, like, you know, because I couldn't play the Prince of Heidelberg, right? We had a nice guy, Julius Metzger, with curly hair and thing. He was the prince, right? So, but we all had to have a job, right?
So, were these in German, these plays?
Oh, yeah, they were in German, uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Manicore, they were so good that the Avon in Utica was a movie theater. And we had to put it on for them. That's how good that was. We had the musicians, they were all mostly Germans. But it took quite an orchestra to put that thing on. Mm-hmm. And we put on one play every month. But we weren't in, every other month we had to be in one of them. And then in the meantime, we just had to help out on small things, see? So I never forget the name Olga. She was supposed to bring in a telegram, and I was on the stage, you know, and then when she, it was all in the play, you know, and then I get supposed to, when she came in, I have to offer her a glass of wine, see, but not supposed to be wine, colored water, maybe whatever it was. But I, smart aleck me, you know, she had actually wine, because I figured Olga, she would like to drink wine. So she didn't expect that, see? But that was a wonderful thing, because when she did taste the wine, she kind of, and that made people laugh. So, so on top of that, I done something good. You know, that just, she expected water, but that I put wine in there. I never forget that. You know, those things you never forget.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was really something.
Well, you have quite a life. We're running out of time. Is there anything that you would like to say before we close?
Well, I just tell you, I'm tickled that we are here, and spend the rest of our life here, mm-hmm. and make the best of it.
Wonderful.
I never knew that, that's when those people come to help me, because I was quite sick. And I never knew that Medicare would care that much. Honestly, I never thought they would. It's all done by Medicare. They take care of it. I know how to take care of myself, so my feet don't swell up anymore. It's all through those people there. And I never thought that all they do, if you get a check coming, Medicare pays. That's not all they do.
They do a lot
of things, I'm telling you. Believe you me, they are all trained people. Well, look at the fella that was here.
Yeah.
And there's another one coming, a nurse coming. And so I never knew, because I was in the hospital 12 days, and I never knew that they would, I didn't expect anything like that.
Well, it's nice to
and have. And they insist on it. They make sure that Marie is well taken care of, and that we can make a life for our own, and keep on, instead of just wasting away. And that's what they're afraid of, you know. Of course, you know, there's a lot of people in, when I was in the hospital, that there's one woman came in, she says, you got anybody home when you get home? Anybody waiting for you? I says, yeah, I got the wife and my daughter, they home. He says, are they here today? He says, are they going to come to see you? Yeah, I says, they'll be here at 2:00. Well, I says, I'll see you right after that. Well, she never came. She didn't have good intention. All she did is looking for somebody that would be alone after they get home. Well, those people here, don't let them get away with anything like this. And of course, I told them that she never showed up anyway. But this just shows you what happened. Mm-hmm. But those people there, that's all done by Medicare. I didn't even know that.
No,
they help you an awful lot.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, I want to thank you very much. It's been
wonderful
talking with you. And I want to say that it's April 19th, 1993, and I've been here with Heinrich Hostler at his home in Largo, Florida. And this is Janet Levine for the National Park Service, and I'm signing off. Okay, this is a kind of a postscript, because we were just talking about Ellis Island.
Right.
And I wanted to ask you, well, when you arrived in the New York Harbor, what did you see there?
What I saw there, we got there on a Friday night, and we saw all the commotion going across, all those ferries with automobiles and then going across the river down there. With you know, that's where they used to come across from down there.
Put their
car sign on. That was one thing that I couldn't quite get. All the cars on, and then barge after barge, they get the wind across on. Them days they didn't have no Holland Tunnel, you know, and so everything came across there, and we used to watch that for ages. Well, then the thing was, Friday weekend in the afternoon, when they only unloaded the first class passengers. We were in the tourist class, so we had to stay there till Monday morning.
See? On the ship.
On the ship. Mm-hmm. So we were all there. Naturally, it was a beautiful weather. We had this big commotion there. It says, Adam, can I ever live through anything like that? Be nice someday going to drive a car like this to get across there. As I say, we just couldn't quite get that. Well, then the next day they took us, they came and we got off the boat, and we got on a small boat, and we got to Ellis Island. On Ellis Island, I saw all those cages around there. I said, well, and one says was Germany. So we.
Each of the cages had a.
Yeah, they had that. Poland, Italy, and whatever Greeks, whatever they were, and you get in there, right? And then you one by one they would. The first thing was they had your medical record from. That was already from the Auswanderhalle in Hamburg. See. And they looked that over, and then they wanted to see the money that we got, the $25, and a few other formalities, whatever they had. And then we got out of the thing, and then we were separated. Wherever we had to go, maybe some went to Chicago, some went to, so they put us in a certain place. And then they put us into the place where the train would leave for Utica. See? Put us on a little boat. And then we got off the boat and we got into the railroad station. What station that was, I couldn't tell you anymore. I wouldn't know about that. But we were in there for about an hour, and a fellow came along. He wanted to know in German if we were, says, are you hungry? So he says, yeah, in a little. So he gave me a pair, and I gave him a dollar, and that was a dollar. My dollar left. So I thought, if I spent my money this way, I'm not going to get very far. So we had to wait till that was in the morning. We had to wait till the evening before we got actually on the train. Well, they were very nice of on the train, because we slept was all night long. We had to travel on the train, and they just give us a pillow to sleep on. He says, now, you don't have to worry about it. You know, he told us in German. I mean, he could talk German. When the time comes that Jüdige is here, I'll tell you. So you just keep on, be sound asleep. So we were sound asleep. I was sound asleep, and all of a sudden it was daylight at about 7 in the morning. And so I had to get ready to get off. I had a ticket on there, see? Where I was going, my name, my address, it's all taken care of. And then I got, when he says, they telephoned your relatives, somebody probably be here. And so I got off the train, and then my cousin, the one, he was home from college for vacation that time, and he came with a Dodge touring car, 1922 Dodge touring car. It's the first trip I had in an automobile. I never had a trip in an automobile before. When he had a, when his father was out in Germany, he bought him a Busch horn. It had two buttons on. See, he was a kind of proud of that. And he took me home then, and then he gave me really, they were so nice to us.
What happened when you got there?
When I got there, I was hungry, because we didn't get down. So my aunt made a couple of eggs for me. She says, they disappeared so fast it wasn't even funny. And she says, would you like two more? I says, yeah, I wouldn't mind. And they disappear too. And she says, you wouldn't want another two. Well, if you want, I'll make you another two. I can tell you, you didn't get nothing all day. I says, no, we didn't. Didn't have anything. Well, then I should have made something else besides eggs. So the next two, she made some fried potatoes with us. In the morning, when she about 8 o'clock, you know, because they eat fried potatoes anyway in the morning in a hotel like that, see? Yeah. And they all were so nice to me. Yeah. When I stayed there with my aunt, and, you know, I was surprised how she used to buy things. You know, a big farmer would come and sell her the beef, whatever they need, big hind ends of some steer. Another farmer would come, maybe a couple of hundred eggs or whatever she had. Another one would come and bring the vegetables, you know, and things like that. And my aunt, they had a big pantry. This was all, when the farmers used to come and deliver, that was other new, you know, something new to me. I never saw anything like it in my life.
Well, she was buying for the hotel, for the
she had a big business there. She was a good cook. On this hotel was located between two factories, a cutlery and the Bossert Corporation.
Bossert,
B-O-S-S-E-R-T, uh-huh. Corporation. That's where I worked. That was my first job as a toolmaker then. And So when my aunt, she had a wonderful business because she was a good cook. She made like sauerbraten and stuff like that, but people liked that. Well, naturally, there were some people that come in, they, you know, all they can eat. One put a spoon in the bag of the potatoes. Anybody else was any potatoes? He just put it all in his one plate and handed it an empty dish. I mean, those are all things, kind of memory, you know? It's
Were there a lot of Germans in Utica?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. A lot of German people in there, especially from Solingen, where they make the knives and the thing. My uncle came from Solingen. He worked in a knife factory over there in Solingen.
In Germany?
Yeah. S-O-L-I-N-G-E-N, Solingen. This is, and they...
Yeah. Were there other ethnic groups besides Germans?
Polish, a lot of Polish people. Uh-huh. When they had a lot, of course, them days, the thing that made all the linens and stuff like this, they kind of moved out of, they moved on south further. They moved out of Utica, see? When there one time there was a lot of people out of work in Utica. Because a lot of Polish people and Italian people, they worked in them, what they called them?
A garment factory?
Yeah. No, they make the yarn.
Mill?
Yeah. Cotton, the mills, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that we'll stop here now, and this time we're really signing off. And I've been talking with Heinrich Hassler, and this is Janet Levine signing off.